This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariama.
Happy birthday, Barry!
Yeah, happy birthday to you too. 27th of June 2018, did you say?
That was the date that we had our very first episode. I'm going to go and find that one, and I'm going to load it up, post that as well. 399 episodes later.
I think when we had the first episode, we were wondering whether we were going to make it to the next week.
No, I had no idea how long New Zealand Bridge thought that we'd last either.
That's right. So we've outlasted the chairman of New Zealand Bridge.
Yeah, but Alan started before we did.
So Alan Morris was the chairman back in those days. He went for 9 years. We've now got Peter Newell. Yeah, I don't know whether we'll do another 8 years or another 400 episodes. We'll see.
I hope everybody has got some benefit over what we have done and how the show has merged to what it is now. We used to have guidelines back in those days.
That's right. These days, we're just trying to get the thing done. We've decided if they sack us, it'll be just too bad. That hasn't happened yet. I understand, and thank you to everybody who's listening. This show still rates pretty well, just about throughout the time we've been on.
Yeah. Okay. So for those that listen to the old Access Community radio stations, and you're not a bridge player, why don't you think about giving it a go? If this show can raise the awareness of Bridge within the community, well, then we've done our job. I'm wondering if we could do something special for this episode. I don't know what that would be.
I drove past I didn't actually go there, but it pointed down there to a place, and I thought, well, that reminded me of one of their shows from a year or two ago, or maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I can't recall. We drove past in a place called Scargill. Do you remember when I brought up Scargill on the show a few years ago?
Why did you bring it up?
It was a bridge system that I played, I think, with Karen Harrison. Somebody in Ireland had played this thing. And Arthur Scargill was a union leader or something over there, champion of the miners. The Scargill system was 5-card miners. You had to have 5 of a miner to open. And if you didn't have a 5-card miner, you had to open a short major. It was the most ridiculous system. It was quite a lot of fun just playing it for something different. And we played it for 3 weeks and never played it again. But the funny thing was that after the first week, we sort of said, okay, perhaps we could do this. And then I think, why am I even bothering with this? I'm never going to play this system again. It's the most ridiculous system in the world. Anyway, there's a place called Scargill, but I don't think it was named after the bridge system. We won whatever the heck we played in.
So really?
It retired undefeated.
Talking about winners, two of our youth players were in a team that took out the national teams that was in Christchurch. How cool is that?
Yeah, unbeaten they were in 7 matches.
So that was Jack James and Leon Meyer playing with Ashley Bark and Malcolm Mayer. Now, I wonder if Ashley has any idea on where that Baden-Wilson trophy is.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to say you were going to offer a prize from the Bridge Zone cupboard to anybody who could guess which one of those players wasn't a youth player.
When we talk about youth, the category goes right up to under 31, Barry.
It does.
But they don't normally get a mention. Is that because you play as a youth when you're a teenager, and then when you get to the 20s, and then if you're well established like the boys are, you just go into the open and you never actually try and compete in that under 31? I wasn't aware that it went so high, that I thought it was like Colts 27.
Wasn't around when I was under 31. Well, if it was, I'd never heard of it. I don't think it was back in the 90s.
Okay. So is it a relatively new thing?
No, it's been around for quite a while after the 90s.
Right. Okay.
Saying that, I'd only just started playing bridge then. I would have had no clue. I wouldn't have known if there was an under 31 category or not. Yeah. Maybe there was one. I just never heard of it.
Something interesting when I was talking with another one, what's with this? We've got Leon Meyer, Malcolm Mayer, and we also have youth player Alexandria Meyer.
It's tricky. It's very tricky.
Anyway, when I was talking with Alex, She was wondering why New Zealand doesn't host regional youth competitions or even a national youth competition. And we did come to the conclusion it's a numbers game. You know, that's Australia exactly does have it. They've got numbers. We don't.
I think they're a bit thin on the ground in New Zealand is the problem.
Well, I've got a little secret to tell you.
Go on.
Folks, you should see his eyes light up when I say those words. Wednesday, 9:15 at the Blacks Road Grocer Store, I'm going to meet Sam Coutts from the NZB board, and we'll be talking, if everything goes tickety-boo, I'll be signing a contract for the National Youth Coordinator.
Okay. How about that?
So I think one of my goals is to try and create enough numbers that we may be able to host some sort of regional or maybe North Island, South Island.
Hadn't thought about it, but the North-South thing sounds like a good place to start.
I don't think you could quite do it regionally at this stage.
I think it would be too tough. That would be a good start, North-South, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, I think so. And one thing that I was going to say is a prize. There's a concert that I want to go to, Counting Crows in Auckland, and that should be a pretty good one. And I'm flying solo on that. Andrew doesn't really like their music. I was just wondering, maybe some youth player or maybe someone might like to join me.
Okay.
We've got a ticket going, and if you're keen, and Barry's got a question for you to answer to be in the draw.
And by the way, I think Judge Julie and the bailiff, they shouldn't be included in this. They'll be too easy.
Absolutely. What's your question?
Can you name five guests we've had on the Bridge Zone, and there's 400 episodes to pick from, but you're not allowed to count Judge Julie or the bailiff because they've been on too often?
And probably not Kermit, because she was on for a whole year.
Yeah, that's right. So we'll eliminate them. If you can name any other five, you're in. You can win a ticket to Counting the Crows or something.
No.
I'm with Mariana's husband on this.
Yeah.
If it was Glenn Campbell and he was in his prime, I'd have been a starter.
So there you go. That's the challenge. Name five guests that we've had on the show. Send it in, bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com, and you've got to be able to be in Auckland 24th of March to go and see Counting Crows with me. And I know Barry's the one that normally gives the tips here, but my tip for this prize is don't just pick the normal ones. The more exclusive your name choice is, the better chances you've got. So we've got international stars being on the show. We'll let you do some digging. Well, that was Mr. Jones, the track from Counting Crows. I can't believe I missed it out talking to Barry about it. Oh, well, back to him. How did it feel to you after not playing bridge for a long time since you've been travelling around, going and fronting up at the national teams? Were you primed and ready?
Well, we got Blair Fisher to send us a few tricky things to make us think about bridge. Then they gave us a tricky hand to play and something to bid, and just to get us in the right frame of mind.
Yeah,
it wasn't bad to start with. Funny thing happened on the second day. I had one match there where I really felt like I was away with the fairies. I don't know what was going on. I wasn't really onto it. I didn't really do anything terrible, and I think we might have won the match even narrowly. I was on another planet for some of it.
Maybe you needed some pickle juice.
Yeah, maybe I did. Seven matches. That might have been the last match, actually. You know, one match too far. 7 14 board matches. It's not too tough, really. We don't get to play 14 board matches very often.
I don't know if you're on Facebook, but I did post this. I put, tonight's recording is going to be so special. We certainly didn't think we would get this old. The 400th episode of the Bridge Zone airs on Wednesday. I wonder if my co-host got me a present. Question mark. Fingers crossed, and I posted it. And it's been liked by 7 people so far. It's been up for an hour. Since I've changed my Facebook over to the Bridge Zone sort of thing, I've got 820 friends now.
Oh, my God.
From all over the world.
I was just thinking we were only in our 50s when we started this.
I know.
Ifayakine. Coming up next, it's time for the Gin Club. That's juniors, intermediates and novices, and our man on the spot, Mr. Gin himself, it's Ross Longneath.
The shape you're in, finger on your eyebrow and left hand on your hip.
Good morning, Mr. Gin.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah, it's wonderful to be involved in your 400th podcast, Mariana. I'm so privileged and lucky.
Isn't it great? Barry doesn't look a day over 300. Actually, yeah, well, you're looking all right for a 400-year-old, Barry.
We were quite a lot younger when we started this thing, Mariana.
I tell you what, something must be happening right, Ross, because we've had contact from a gin member from Whakatāne Club. Hello to Leanne Blackwood.
What a great name for Bridge, by the way.
It is a great name, isn't it, Blackwood? I wonder if she uses it. Thanks for listening. And, yep, we'll certainly send you a link for our weekly podcast. But you can get it on the New Zealand Bridge website. Just click on that. They upload the show every Wednesday afternoon. So what have you been doing in your travels, Ross?
Played a few tournaments with not a great deal of success, but we've met a lot of wonderful intermediate and junior and even certificate of proficiency players at the tournaments we've been to in the last couple of weeks.
Nice.
It's been great. And we've been promoting the Bridge Zone wherever we go and putting up our little poster in clubs. The Phantom Bill poster's been at work in every club that I've been to.
Lovely.
We've done our bit for the 400th anniversary.
Hey, Barry, you said that Leanne's surname is a good bridge name. Some of the gin players may not know.
Blackwood, of course, an invention from many years ago, asking for aces. Four no trump, saying, how many aces have you got? This was the old basic Blackwood. Now people are playing something called Roman keycard Blackwood, but Blackwood was pretty simple back in the day. Four no trump said, how many aces you got? Five clubs said none. Five diamonds said one. Five hearts said two. And five spades said three. And I guess if you got more than three, you'd wonder what the heck partner was asking for.
Ross, you've got some results for us.
Yeah, in the last couple of weeks, there's been a few intermediate tournaments. Earlier one was Papakura Intermediate. I want to mention that specifically because Zin Willada and Sam McNee from North Shore won that, and they had a massive 76.76% in the afternoon session.
Guacamole.
Unbeatable. Now, Sam plays a little bit more than Zin, and he is really flying on our rating table.
Crikey. 76, Barry.
That's a very impressive. I tell you what, I'm actually recording this from a cafe in Kaikoura, and I can't hear that well, but I certainly heard the 76, and I thought, maybe I misheard. Obviously not. That was it. Well, there's also been intermediate tournaments in Taradale, and that was run by Caroline Richards and Mary Wall from Havelock North. And then the one I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that was coming up was the Top of the South trials for the interprovincials. And the intermediate winners of that were Aidan Gunn and Sam Naylor, with Sue Glue and Michelle Gunn, who's Aidan's mother, second. Those of us who play a bit of real bridge on Sunday nights and Monday nights and every night of the week, just about, know Aidan very well and Stan. And Aidan is a young guy who's got an amazing feel for, he can sniff out a game or sniff out a slam like nobody I know. He's actually really, really clever player. Nice young guy too. So that was a couple from a few weeks ago. And then this recent week, this is a good one. There was a Cromwell Junior and Intermediate tournament just gone by, and they had 21 tables combined. That's a really full room.
In Cromwell?
In Cromwell,
Yep.
Wow.
I guess we shouldn't sound so astounded, but I was really impressed.
In Cromwell, Ross, and they operate out of the local Catholic parish hall, so it's a pack-up, put-down. And 20, how many?
21 tables.
21 tables. Oh, it'd be pretty impressive. Tight for them.
Pretty amazing, eh? And I think it's an example to a lot of small clubs, because I looked on their website and they say they have 50 members.
Yeah.
They can turn out that many tables and run a tournament with 50 members. That's what every smallish club in New Zealand should be able to do, I feel.
Yeah, that quickly, is an amazing turnout.
Just quickly, Ross, and this is putting you on the spot. You're talking about Aidan being a young guy. How young are we talking? Is he a teenager or?
I would say he's in his 20s.
That's young compared to us, Ross.
Absolutely. He's not 400 yet, that's for sure.
Talking about youth players, do either of you know on the international bridge world the player that is known as the machine?
No, I don't.
What about the machine is 21 years old?
New Zealander?
No. Okay, well, if you have been listening to Sorry Partner podcast, they do a monthly podcast, this youth player called The Machine is Finn Kolesnik, 21 years old, and he is an amazing bridge player.
Anyone that follows bridge will know that name. International bridge, I mean.
Did you know his nickname was The Machine?
No, I didn't know that.
Jump on Sorry Partner, listen to the podcast. His takeout tip was count everything. That's what he said. You just count everything. And if you're not counting everything, start trying to learn to count everything. And he said your bridge will come a lot quicker. And I was like, okay. It seems a pretty daunting task. Count everything.
I think a lot of people think it's just too hard to try and count the points, count each suit. Why don't you just start by counting one suit? And if you're defending, certainly trying to count how many points you think partner might have. Just have a rough guess. You can usually tell from the bidding how many points they've got between them once you've seen the dummy. You can see your hand. All you've got to do is be able to subtract those three things from 40 and you'll know how many points partner's got roughly. That's really helpful when you're defending. Some people, I think it's just too hard. You just think, oh, no, I've got too much other stuff to think about. I can't be doing that. If that's all you do, your game will improve, I'm sure. When you're defending, first thing you do, see the dummy, just try and work out how many points partner's got.
Here's the very last minute or so of the chat that Ross and I had with Alex Meyer. What the youth program looks like in your club or in your region. If you've got anything that you'd like to add to our little chat, please let us know. bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com. You said about the youth program. I'm currently working on this project of introducing bridge in schools. And I've had to think about loads and loads of different things. So if you think back to when you were at college, what avenues do you think bridge has to take part in a school curriculum? Do you think it would be easy for introducing more players if bridge was able to be played at school?
Yes, definitely. I think that the main use for bridge in schools at the moment would be just as a social fun thing to get people together. They might not know how to play well. They might not be interested in learning how to play better. But just having the opportunity of at a lunch, you can get two to three tables together, all playing this funny bridge game, there will eventually be someone who joins in and just falls in love with the game.
Did you have any card playing electives at your school?
No. So my school was very much a sports school, and sports as being the physical sports rather than mind sports.
Yeah.
So any sort of chess or bridge or card playing wasn't really not so much supported, but just there wasn't any precedent for it. It wasn't introduced at all.
Okay. Goodbye, okay, everybody. Ross.
Enjoy the party. See you.
Jack Diamond, he told the Queen of Spades,
know me is to love. I must be a hell of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can.
For the 400th episode, we have the bailiff with us. Judge Julie is what? On a holiday?
Somewhere in the South Island, so.
It's 18 degrees down here. Sun is out. It's really great.
Well, I'm in Kaikoura. It's not that great here, I can tell you. A couple of things, Patrick. One of the things we wanted to ask you about was waiting. Are we having to weigh bridge players now, or what does that mean?
Talking about when you have to adjust the score and you're not sure what score to adjust it to, after there's been an infraction, let's say you've received the wrong information about the opponent's bid, but it was too late to change your auction. One of the things the director will look at is what would have happened if you had got the right explanation. And bridge is a tricky game because the director might be able to look at it and say, oh, well, if they got the right explanation, oh, yes, so that they would have been four spades and made four spades.
Right.
And might say, well, I'm so confident that that's the right result that I'll take whatever score they had and I'll adjust it to the offended side making four spades. But
okay.
It might not be that easy. The director might say, well, if they got the right explanation, I think they might have bid four spades, but it's not so clear cut. They haven't got so many points. You know, this hand will bid two spades and maybe the other hand will pass it, or maybe they'll raise to three and then they'll go to four. So the director might say, well, I'm weighing it up. I think either of those two things are about equally likely to happen. So I might work out what score they'd get for four spades making four, and I'll work out what score they'd get for two spades making four, and yep. I'll give them the score that's halfway in between those two things. So not saying add them up and divide them. Work out how many match points you would have got for four making four. Work out how many match points you would have got for two making four, and then give you a number of match points that's halfway in between those two. But it could get even trickier than that, not just in that there could be more results. It might be possible to beat four spades. So now the director's got to think, probably they'll make four making four, but they might not bid four. Or actually it's possible if the defence gets off to this particular lead, maybe four spades would go down. And now the director's got several different possibilities to consider as how they break that up. So when there gets to be multiple possibilities, it gets really tricky. But even if there's only two possibilities, like with my example of four spades making four and two spades making four, yep. The director might think, oh, I think they're quite likely to bid four spades, but you know, they might have passed two spades. So I want to give them 70% of four spades making four and only 30% of two spades making four. Then the director has to work out the number of match points for four making four, the number of match points for two making four, and say, right, the number for four making four, we'll multiply that by seven, and then we'll multiply the other one by only three, and then we'll divide that by 10, and that gives them a score that's closer to making four spades than to only bidding two spades. So it's a judgment thing. You can certainly have a situation where someone says, well, of course, if I'd got the right explanation, I would have bid four spades 100% of the time. Why are you only giving me part of that? It's a judgment about what might happen. And bridge is a difficult game to judge. Imagine how often you're surprised when your teammates come back with a stupid looking score and you're saying, why the hell didn't you bid four spades?
The directors have got a lot more to think about than you give them credit for, Mariana. So, I mean, you think they're only there to tell you what time's supper time.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's quite a lot of rulings at bridge are straightforward. And you just say, da-da, da-da, da-da. Just when you think it's an easy game to rule on, you get a tricky situation where you have to use judgment and someone disagrees with what the right thing to do in a particular situation is. And it's usually one of these ones where you've got to decide either a waiting situation like this, or sometimes it's when someone had unauthorized information and should they be still allowed to make the bid that works. You know, a three-heart opening in Panath thinks for a long time and then passes and it comes round to you and you bid three spades and partner raises to four and you make four. Is your three spades clear enough that it should be allowed to still be made? Now, when you've got unauthorized information and you know you want to bid three spades because you know partner's got values, the rules are that you're not allowed to take advantage of unauthorized information unless it's a really clear-cut bid. So what someone thinks is a clear-cut bid, someone else will think is more doubtful. It's a judgment thing.
Okay. I was just going to ask, so if you're unsure of whether you should be thinking about waiting and then calculating the match points, is that when you get to the point where you say, actually, I'm going to poll?
Well, you've asked the wrong person here because I'm not a big fan of polling, and I know some directors are. So don't let me put down the idea. I've often found that when I've polled, it's very difficult to actually get exactly the same circumstance. And I'm usually happy with going with my judgment. But you're right, polling is a thing, and it's one of those things that it takes quite a while to do, whether or not you want to delay the whole process. It's like when you have a vote on something, if you have a vote of four people, that doesn't really tell you anything because you could get four people and they all tell you one thing. And if you poll 10 people, the next six might tell you the other. So in theory, if you're going to poll, you should poll lots of people. And that's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah.
So while I'm sure you can talk to some other directors who are in favor of polling, personally, I try to avoid it unless I can do anything to avoid polling, in my view. But that's just me. You can wind up with situations where you say, oh, it's too tricky to give a weighted score. There's just too many possibilities, and I just don't know what would happen. And then you normally give 60-40 in favour of the non-offending side.
Right, so okay.
You say, well, look, this could happen or that could happen, and really not sure how to weight this. You wouldn't try to poll it and ask the people you're polling multiple things. You'd have to ask them several questions, like, would you bid two spades on this hand? Or then if you had the other hand, would you bid three spades? Well, then you've shown them both hands. So you sort of like have to poll one lot of people with one decision and then a different lot of people with the other decision.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
It's one of those things when people can see the hand and know what's right, it's very hard for someone to be objective. It's amazing how people say to themselves, well, I would have done what was right. Save your polling questions for the judge when she's back.
Okay, we'll do.
He's more in favour of polling than I am.
Well, anyway, we're going to end because the Bridge Zone reached its 400th episode today. So that's pretty cool. Thank you and Judge Julie for being a part of it.
Perhaps you should broadcast from Central Districts.
Why's that?
Well, CD is 400 Roman numerals.
Okay.
You're far too clever for me. You're the closest, Patrick.
I think it's something to do with a Scrabble background, Mariana. We won't hold it against them.
CD's not a word in Scrabble, trust me.
Thank you so much, Beta. Catch
Thank
you
next
week.
Yeah, okay, yeah, bye.
Yeah, yeah. He's really awesome, yeah.
That's all we've got for you this week, folks. We'll see you at the tables.
Bye for now.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.